All right, Don, I'm ready. You want me to take the opening, huh?
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2016, and I thought I'd record a new intro for these episodes because I listened to my old intro. It was fine. It just didn't cover too much ground, and I thought, well, why don't I do another one? I haven't done an intro in a while, so first I thought I'd say Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas season. And I thought I would also talk a little bit, of course, about the episodes. Now, the episodes I would normally play this week, Jack's show is missing and lost to time. So what I decided to do was grab next week's episodes and bring them forward to this week. The reason I decided to do that is they're both Christmas episodes. And so I thought it would be fun for you to have these Christmas episodes to listen to, because otherwise, essentially, they would be put out next week on Christmas Day, and I'll have some other things to bring on Christmas Day, so I thought, let's just put these here. So tonight's episodes, of course, are the Jack Benny Show and the Phil Harris Show from the same night, and they both, as I said, are Christmas episodes, so that will be a lot of fun. Another thing that's really cool about tonight's episode of the Jack Benny Show is it features Elliot Lewis, who is also, of course, plays Remley on Phil Harris's show. So you get a chance to hear Elliot Lewis in two different performances on the same night. Elliot Lewis in this particular episode of the Jack Benny Show, it's kind of a funny part. I enjoy him in this role. It's basically the delivery boy who's a little impatient about things. I won't give too much more away, but it's just funny to hear Elliot do this bit. Next week, Elliot is going to play Rodney Dangerfield. And a lot of people ask me when the Rodney Dangerfield name comes up on Jack's show, is it the real Rodney Dangerfield or what's going on? Well, Rodney Dangerfield, the comedian and actor that was really big in the 80s, at 70s, 80s, was he around in the early 90s? But then he passed away. I'm not sure when that happened. But he got his name, his stage name, of Rodney Dangerfield from Jack's show. And so he just brought that character to life many, many, many years later, kind of like I go by Buck Benny, I suppose. Anyway, in next week's episode, Rodney Dangerfield will be brought to life by Elliot Lewis, who's going to play Rodney Dangerfield. So I can't remember that episode off the top of my head, so I'm excited to hear what he does with it. Now, you never know until I listen to the episode. Maybe it's a little tiny little part, or maybe it's a bigger part. I don't know. So, but it'll be fun to hear it. And Elliot Lewis is only going to be on a few more episodes this season. I think February is his last appearance, and then he never appears on the Jack Benny Show again. He's historically appeared pretty much 2, 3, 4 times a year throughout the Benny run. But the reason this is his last year appearing is because he's on Phil's show. And Phil and Jack have kind of a parting of the ways at the end of the year. And Phil just does his own show and never appears on Jack's show again until television in like 1957 he shows up. But as far as radio years go after this year, they're separate and they never appear together again. And then, of course, since Elliot Lewis is tied into Phil's show, he never appears on Jack's show either, which is a shame because Jack obviously liked to work with Elliot Lewis, and Elliot Lewis definitely liked to work with Jack because he mentions Jack in a lot of his interviews. Anyway, the other thing that's really exciting about tonight's episode is when I presented it 5 years ago, there was this buzz. It's a weird buzz because it's like it's one pitch and then it changes to another pitch. So you hear this throughout the entire episode, or at least most of it. And it wasn't as loud as I just portrayed it. It was just enough to be annoying. And I think after a while, you kind of got used to it. But the new version I found that the folks from the Cobalt Club put out there is beautiful and doesn't have that noise going through it. So it's a big upgrade for this year. So I hope you really enjoy this. And if you have like my episodes in your collection, you'll want to replace the old one with this one because it's, like I say, it's much better. And so the sound quality is really nice on this copy. And it's also, of course, nice on the Phil Harris show. So you'll have two great shows to listen to about Christmas. And you can spend a nice hour with Jack and the gang and Phil. And just really quickly, I'm just really enjoying this season. I forgot how good these episodes are. To hear the 1936-37 season and hear Phil kind of coming into his own slowly but surely, his character's coming out because that's his first season with Jack, is exciting. And then to hear the 1941 season and 41-42, where now we've just had the Pearl Harbor attack and hear kind of Jack's show sort of adapting to the war years is really interesting. And then the 46-47 season from 5 years later gets us into the very first year of Phil Harris and Dennis Day having their own shows. And it's just interesting to hear how that works. And Jack had brought a bunch of new things into his show, whether the Sportsman, it's their first year performing in the show. And we get a lot of fine-tuning on, like, the whether it's the vault and Ed and the violin teacher, who's, it's not their first year, but they're definitely doing some fine-tuning. And then on top of that, of course, the shopping episode, the Christmas shopping episode, really gets fine-tuned with Mel Blanc's character coming on. So it's a great season. And then this 51-52 season is insane, as it's Phil's last year and he has more time to be on the show. The writers don't always use him as much as I'd hope they would, because since he's available for the whole half hour now, but sometimes they're using him more, and that's great. Anyway, I've probably talked long enough for you. Like I say, I hope you're having a great holiday season. I thank you for all the folks that have supported us. I thought I would mention, if you haven't gotten the links and you've donated to the podcast and you want, you need to email me if you haven't gotten the links. I've still got a few people I'm catching up on, but I'd just like to know. And so that's buckbennyotr@gmail.com. And just tell me what level you donated at and what links you're supposed to get, and then I will make sure I get those out to you. So don't get mad, just email me. Anyway, have a wonderful Christmas and enjoy Jack and Phil Harris. Make sure you stay tuned for Phil's show.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, get better taste. Be happy, go lucky, get better taste today.
Lucky's taste better. Friends, LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Fine, mild, good-tasting tobacco. There's no substitute for fine tobacco, and don't let anybody tell you different. Yes, Lucky's taste better. Because their fine, mild, good-tasting tobacco goes into the cigarette proved the best made of all five principal brands. Let me repeat that. Proved the best made of all five principal brands. That's not an empty claim. That's a fact. Verified by leading laboratory consultants. For example, Froling and Robertson of Richmond, Virginia, who report,
"It is our conclusion that Lucky Strike is the best made of these five major brands."
So don't be misled by double talk. Remember the facts. Enjoy fine, mild, good-tasting tobacco in the cigarette that tastes better, Lucky Strike.
So mild, so smooth, so firm and fresh, with better taste in every puff. When you buy cigarettes, remember, Lucky's taste better.
And right now, Lucky's are available in bright, festive Christmas cartons. So this year, make it a happy-go-lucky Christmas. Give all your friends Christmas cartons of Lucky Strike, the cigarette that tastes better.
Be happy, go lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Luke.
gentlemen, Christmas is just 2 days away. So let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where we find Jack and Rochester busily trimming the tree.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Santa Claus works once a year, but I work every day. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Rochester, look, if you're just going to stand there singing, we'll never get this tree decorated. Give me another ornament, will you, please?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. I think I'll put this one right here. Now, that's pretty. Now, give me another one, will you, Rochester?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you. Now, I'll put this one on this branch. Just a few more and we'll be finished. Rochester, this time give me a big one.
Coming up. Here you are.
Oh, boy, this is really a big one. I think I'll hang this one up near the... Oh, darn it, I broke it. And I try to handle it so gently.
Boss, next year, why don't you buy ornaments instead of having me blow them out of bubble gum?
Never mind. Now, Rochester, I better put this star on top of the tree, and then we'll all... I can't reach the top of it.
I'll run out to the garage and get the ladder.
No, no, that'll take too much time. The gang will be here any minute, and I want this tree finished. I know what. You bend over, and I'll stand on your back.
Okay. Like this?
Yeah. Now, hold still while I get up on your back. There. Now, hold still, Rochester. Now, I'll reach up and put the star right up on...
Coming!
Rochester! Ooh.
Oh, my goodness, boss. Boss, are you hurt?
Rochester, you knew I was standing on your back. Why did you move?
It's your own fault.
My fault?
Yeah, you worked me like a fire horse, and when I hear a bell, I gotta go.
Oh.
Coming, coming.
Fire horse.
Hello? No, I'm sorry.
Who was that?
False alarm.
Now, Rochester, I want to put this star up on the top of the tree, so will you please try... You better answer the door first.
Yes, sir. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is.
Hello, Rochester. Merry Christmas.
Oh, and a Merry Christmas to you, too, Miss Livingston. Come on in.
Hello, Jack. Have any of the other...
Hold it, Mary. Hold it. Don't move.
What?
You're under the mistletoe. Here I come. There. How was that, Mary? Mary, where are you?
I'm over here. You kissed the bridge lamp.
What?
You always close your eyes too soon.
Well, of course I closed my eyes. I was being romantic.
Romantic?
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
When you came at me with your lips puckered up, you looked like the super chief whistling at a crossing.
Super chief, super chief. Some joke.
I'm only kidding, Jack. What about these presents I brought? Where shall I put them?
Oh, presents, huh? Well, let's go in the living room and put them under the tree. Rochester, what are you doing?
I'm putting snow on the branches.
Oh, good, good. Well, Mary, how do you like my Christmas tree?
Oh, Jack, it's beautiful. And I've never seen such unusual ornaments.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
You know, but this one should be moved a little toward the... Jack, the ornament exploded, and all I did was touch it like... There goes another one.
I heard it. I heard it. You and your sharp fingernails.
Rochester, what are you doing?
I'm blowing replacements.
That's good, Rochester.
Jack, everybody will be here soon. Help me put my gifts around the tree.
Okay, Rochester, run upstairs and bring mine, too, will you?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mary, you certainly brought enough packages.
You're not kidding. To get them over here, I thought I'd have to get a wheelbarrow.
A wheelbarrow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, say, that reminds me, Mary, of a wonderful story that's going around. It's so funny, I gotta tell it to you. Listen to this, Mary. There was a man who was working at the place where they make the atomic bombs in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And as you know, everything they do there is top secret, see? And one day at quitting time, this man was going through the gate pushing a wheelbarrow filled with Excelsior, see? When the guard... Excuse me.
Package from Mr. Benny.
I'll take it, boy.
Yes, sir. Sign right here.
Certainly. There.
Thank you.
Just a minute, boy. Here's a tip for you.
Thank you.
Mary, look at this beautiful package that just came. Isn't it the... Boy, you can go.
Aren't you going to open it?
What?
The package. Please. Please open it.
Why should I open it?
You gotta. I can't stand it any longer. For 2 weeks now, without a day off, I'm delivering Christmas packages. Big ones, little ones, green ones, red ones, blue ones, white ones.
Look, boy.
I keep trying to guess what's in these packages. The big ones, the small ones, the green ones, the red ones.
The boy, take it easy.
I can't help it. At night when I get home, I can't eat. I can't sleep. I keep thinking. What's in these packages? The red ones, the green ones, the big ones. It's driving me nuts.
Look, fellow.
Please open it.
All right, I'll open it.
He's going to open it. Hurry.
Well, control yourself. I'm opening it. There, it's open. It's for my brother-in-law, Leonard Fenchel.
I don't care who it's from. What is it?
Here it is, see? It's an ashtray.
Oh, goody. It's an ashtray. Oh, no, I can sleep tonight. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to know, and thank you, sir. Good day.
It takes so little to make some people happy. Now, Mary, where was I?
You were telling me a story about a fellow with a wheelbarrow.
Oh, yes. As I told you, everything is top secret at the atomic plant in Oak Ridge. So when this fellow came through the gate with a wheelbarrow full of excelsior, the security police noticed that... Oh, for heaven's sakes, these interruptions. Excuse me, Mary. Oh, hello, Don. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Jack.
Don, how come you brought the sportsman quartet over? We're not rehearsing.
Well, they have some packages they want to put under your tree.
Oh, well, come on in, boys.
Merry Christmas, Don.
Same to you, Mary. You too, Rochester.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Wilson.
Say, Jack, I've never seen such a beautifully decorated tree.
Well, thanks, Don. Say, what's that package you have under in your pocket there?
Oh, that's a present for my wife.
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's something very unusual. She'll be crazy about it.
Well, what is it, Don? What is it?
Well, Jack, we have a family album at home, and in it are several pictures of me when I was in college, in high school, grammar school. And my wife asked me so many times for a baby picture.
Oh, that's cute. Say, Don, did you have one of those baby pictures, you know, where you're nude lying on a bearskin rug?
No, so I went down this morning and had one taken.
Don, this morning you had a... Oh, well, it'll make a beautiful calendar. Anyway, Don, when you came in, I was telling Mary a story about a fellow who worked in the atomic plant at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And each night, this fellow would go through the gate with a wheelbarrow filled with...
Jack, I hate to interrupt. It's such an interesting story, but the quartet has to leave.
Oh, so long, fellas. Merry Christmas. So the security police knew that the man was stealing something. So they examined the excelsior, but they couldn't find anything, so they let him pass, see? Then the next night, this man came through.
Listen, better watch out.
Fellas, I'm trying to tell a story.
Jack,
I mean, you don't have to sing to me.
Santa Claus is coming.
I want to tell a story.
He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry. Listen now, Jack, we're telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
With plenty of luck, he's right on his back.
A carton or two for Mary and Jack. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And you can be sure that Santa is glad.
Bringing those luckies to Mother and Dad. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now Santa knows that lucky strikes are milder, that is true. He also knows they're round and firm and they're so much better tasting too. Be happy-go-lucky, better start now. Open a pack, we're telling you how. Santa Claus is coming to town on Tuesday. Listen, 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 Santa Claus is coming to town.
That was very good, fellas. You can go now. So the security police once again took the Excelsior out of the wheelbarrow, see? And this time they really examined it. But when... Oh, for heaven's sake. Come in. Hiya, kids. Merry Christmas,
Phil,
everybody.
Merry Christmas, Phil.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Jackson, that's a nice tree you got this year.
Well, thanks.
Have you decorated yours, Phil?
Yeah, Livy, and you ought to see it. It's in the corner of the living room, and it's got a big gold star on the top, and it's loaded down with lights and tinsel. And then in the den, we've got all of our presents laid out.
In the den? Why don't you have the presents under the tree?
Oh, there's no room there.
No room? Why, what's under the tree?
My orchestra. We had a party last night.
Phil. Phil, you mean all your musicians are lying under the tree?
Well, all except Bagby. He's sitting there playing a piano.
Oh, gee, you must be proud of him.
I would be if we had a piano.
Phil, let me ask you something. Phil, if your boys had a party last night, how come you're in such good condition?
I'm on a wagon, Dad. Don't you know that I didn't take a drink during the entire month of December?
Why not?
I promised my eyes a white Christmas.
Oh, how thoughtful.
Say, Phil, what did Alice give you for a present?
Oh, I won't know that old Christmas, but I got her something beautiful, Liv. She's really going to get a kick out of it. I called up and ordered an Encyclopedia Britannica.
Encyclopedia Britannica? That's a strange gift for you to think of. A set of books.
Books? Holy smoke, I thought it was one of them foreign cars.
Phil, how could you be so ignorant, mistaking the Encyclopedia Britannica...
Mary, leave him alone. That's a natural mistake. Anyone could have made it. Now, Phil, I'd like to ask you something.
Well, do, Jackson, do.
Well, it's about that package you have under your arm. If it's a present for me, give it to me already. If it's not, tell me so I can stop being nice to you, you know?
Hey, I'm glad you reminded me, Jackson, because it is for you.
Well, good, good. Put it under the tree.
No. Open it now.
Well, if you insist. Oh, Phil. Phil, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jackson. I figured an oil painting would go swell in your den.
Well, it's really beautiful.
Well, what is it?
It's a picture of the sun rising over the downtown branch of the California Bank.
Yeah, I'll hang it between the pictures of my sponsor and Mr. Paley. You know, it looks so nice.
Hey, hello, Polly.
Oh, say, kids, I want to show you something I taught Polly to do just for Christmas. Oh, Polly. Now, Polly, recite the poem Daddy taught you. Now, come on, Polly. "'Twas the night... Come on. "'Twas the night...
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house...
Go on, go on.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a...
Come on, Polly. Not even a... Not even a what? Not even a... M-O-U-S-E.
Moose.
That's two O's. Stupid parrot. Oh, say, Phil. Phil, before you came in, I was telling the most wonderful story about a man and a wheelbarrow. I knew it. Come in.
Hello, everybody. Season's greetings.
Hey, kids, it's Mr. Kitson. Hello, Mr. Kitson.
Merry Christmas.
Oh,
Mr. Benny, I just dropped by to tell you I saw your television show last Sunday, and I enjoyed it to my heart's contentment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kitzel.
The whole program was wonderful, but that French girl you had on with you was something special.
Oh, you mean that little French girl, or that Helene Francois?
Yes, she was so beautiful, and what a figure. Like they say in French, cette fille est la plus femme voluptueuse.
What does that mean?
Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, if you like her so much, I got news for you.
What?
Helene Francois is going to be a guest on my radio program next week.
Oh, Mr. Benny, how I would love to see her in person. Could you get me a ticket?
I think so. In fact, I'll try to get you two tickets so you can take your wife along.
Try real hard and just get one.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Not that I got anything against my wife. Bless her heart. In fact, for a Christmas present, she knitted me this tie I'm wearing.
Say, that's a very pretty tie, Mr. Kitzel.
Oh, this isn't all. Wait till I unbutton my jacket. Now look.
Oh, she even knitted a belt to match the tie.
It's still the tie. She didn't know when to start.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
My. Well, Mr. Benny, I just wanted to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Well,
same to you, Mr. Kitzel. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Now, let's see. What was I doing before Mr. Kitzel came in?
You were in the middle of a joke.
Yeah, that's right, Jackson. You were telling us an antidote.
No, Phil, that's anecdote. Antidote.
See, I always thought it was antidote.
No, Phil, it's anecdote. A-N...
E-C-D-O-T-E.
That she can spell, but mouse to her is moose. You know, sometimes that bird... Well, I hope that's Dennis. Then I can tell the story to everybody. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Trick or treat.
For heaven's sake, Dennis, this is Christmas. Why in the world would you think it's Halloween?
I just passed Phil's house and there are bottles dumped all over the lawn.
Dennis, those weren't dumped. Phil had a party and those are calling cards.
Oh.
Now, come on in.
Who is it, Jack?
Bernard Baruch.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Say, Dennis, I was just telling Dennis, what happened? Your jaw looks like it's swollen.
It is.
Why? What's wrong, kid?
I had a tooth pulled this morning.
Oh, that's a shame, Dennis. Was it hurting you?
No.
Have a cavity in it?
No.
Then why did you have it pulled?
My uncle's a dentist, and that's what he gave me for Christmas.
Well, that's the most stupid thing I ever heard. Letting your uncle pull your tooth.
Oh, it's not so stupid.
Jack's right, Dennis. How could you let your uncle pull your tooth for a Christmas present?
It looks silly in my mouth.
Why?
He already had it gift wrapped.
Dennis, do you mean that you...
Mary, are you going to go along with this thing?
Jack, this is so fantastic. I've got to find out.
All right, it's up to you.
Dennis, do you mean that you let your uncle pull one of your teeth every Christmas?
Uh-huh. And then I can't wait until my birthday, so he'll pull another one.
Well, why?
Well, that's how I keep my uppers and lowers even.
Look, Dennis.
3 more years and you can call me Gummy.
Dennis, it's Christmas. Why can't you come in here just once a year? And oh, my goodness, look what I forgot.
What?
This present here under the tree. It's for Ed, the man who guards my vault.
Well, Jack, that's certainly nice of you to remember him.
Don, all the years that Ed has been down there, never once have I forgotten him at Christmas. Excuse me, kids, I want to go down there and give him his present. Gee, it's dark. I can hardly see the bridge across the moat. Oh, there it is. moat looks empty without the alligator. I'll have to get another one. Mary had to have a purse for Christmas. Oh, well. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
That's right, Ed.
Well, I'll light a candle so you can see the combination on the safe.
Oh, no, Ed. I'm not down here to open the safe.
You're not?
No. No, I brought you your present.
Oh. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday.
No, Ed. No. It's Christmas.
Christmas? How time flies.
Well, go ahead, Ed. Go ahead. Open your present.
I will.
There you are, Ed. Do you like it?
Oh, just what I've always wanted. A kite.
I knew you'd like it.
Gee. And string, too. Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
You're welcome. So long, Ed.
Goodbye.
Oh, Ed.
Yes, Mr. Benny?
I got the most wonderful joke to tell you. I hope you haven't heard it before.
Down here?
Oh, I forgot. Well, anyway, Ed, it seems that a man was working at the Oak Ridge Atomic Plant when one night he walked out past the guard with a wheelbarrow filled with excelsior. Now, the guard inspected the excelsior and found nothing in it, so he let him pass. The next night, the same man came along, and again he was pushing a wheelbarrow filled with excelsior. But this time, the guard was very suspicious, so he checked the excelsior carefully and still couldn't find anything. This kept happening for 10 days, till the guard was nearly crazy, because he knew the man was stealing something, and he couldn't find out what. So the next night, when the man came out with a wheelbarrow filled with excelsior, the guard stopped him, took him in a room, and said, "Now look, we know you're stealing something. If you'll tell us what it is, we promise you we won't arrest you or punish you. Now what is it you're stealing?" And the man said, "Wheelbarrows."
I don't get it.
Oh, of course not. Silly me, I forgot. You've been down here so long, you don't know what an atomic plant is.
I don't even know what a wheelbarrow is.
Oh. Well, Merry Christmas, Ed.
Merry Christmas.
Jack, you took so long, we're all waiting for you.
Waiting? Where is everybody?
In the next room. They're all gathered around the piano. Dennis is going to sing some Christmas carols.
Oh, good. Let's go in and listen.
Adeste fideles, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Nocum videte, rei Poor infant, so tender and mild, sleep in a heavenly peace, sleep in a the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconcile. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of my sponsor and my entire cast, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Today, Phil's chance meeting with a little boy in a parking lot completely changes both their ideas of Christmas. But first, a word from RCA Victor. Two nights before Christmas and all through the house, there's a fever excitement with everyone wrapping presents or finishing up Christmas shopping left to the last minute. In any case, it will be a very lucky family who will find an RCA Victor super set like the Whitfield with a ribbon around it and under the tree on Christmas morning. And if you haven't thought of it before, there's probably still time to get the Whitfield. It's a magnificent super set that brings you television with picture power for clearer, stronger, steadier pictures deep in the city or far in the country. So remember the name of this beautifully styled 17-inch table model superset, the Whitfield. It's the gift that keeps on giving, a gift the whole family will enjoy all year round. Remember the name, RCA Victor, cornerstone of home entertainment for three generations. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. With only a few days left till Christmas, the Harris family has gone to a local department store to do some last-minute shopping. While Alice is looking around for some gifts, Phil has taken the children to the toy department to see Santa Claus.
And if you're a good little girl, I'll bring you all the things you asked for. Now then, who's next?
I am Santa.
Aren't you a little old for this sort of thing, sonny?
Look, don't give me no trouble, Nick. Just take my order. Now, look, I want 2 dollhouses, 2 dolls, 2 make-believe stoves, and 2 sewing machines.
2 of everything, eh?
Uh-huh. And another thing, I want 2 blue party dresses with pink ribbons.
Are you and your twin sister going to a formal, dear?
Look, don't be a comic. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a wise Kris Kringle. Just give me my order.
No, please, there are a lot of children waiting now. I have to take care of the next little boy in line. Well, now then, sonny, what do you want to be?
I want a fountain pen, an adding machine, and a green celluloid eye shade.
What did I do to deserve these big jerks? Now, if you two apes don't get out of here, I'll call the manager, and I'll beat it.
You're a nasty old man.
You're right, Willie, and I bet he beats his reindeer. Look, mister, those things I ordered are not for me. My two kids sent me up to ask for them.
What's the matter? Are they too stupid to speak for themselves?
One more crack out of you, and I'll punch you right in your big fat pillow.
Daddy, please, you're embarrassing us. You can't talk to Santa Claus that way.
Oh, this is not the real one. The head man is up the North Pole. This guy's just a no-talent road company.
Look, if your kids want to order anything, you let them talk for themselves. Well, now then, my little darling, what would you like to have for Christmas? Besides a new father.
I want a dollhouse, a doll, a make-believe stove, and a sewing machine. And my sister wants
Tell him myself.
Very well, little honey. And what would you like for Christmas, my sweet little darling?
Have you got any good head-shrinking sets?
If you promise to use it on your father, I'll get you.
That does it. I'm not going to stand around here and be insulted. Now, look to me, mister.
Please, there are a lot of children waiting to see me.
Well, they won't be for long. Fellow children, if you want to see a good Santa Claus, go to Saks Fifth Avenue. And don't sit on this one's lap. He's got bony knees.
Please. Come along now. You're causing a scene.
All right, but I can't stand it. Come on, let's get out of here.
Daddy, I hope you didn't make a mistake.
What do you mean?
If that's the real Santa Claus, we're dead.
Oh, honey, didn't you notice that every department store has a Santa Claus? They're just helpers. The real one doesn't show up until Christmas Eve. And then he'll come flying through the sky, calling to his reindeer. And then he'll glide in and land on our roof.
Tell me more, Philip.
I'm not talking.
Daddy, you told us we'd see the real Santa. May we stay up Christmas Eve and see him?
Yeah, sure. Look, Willie, take the kids home.
Oh, very well, Philip.
And I'll wait here for Alice. In the meantime, I think I'll join Frankie over at the toy counter. Wonder what he's buying at the toy counter.
What kind of a doll did you say you wanted, sir?
You heard me. I want a doll that's 5'2", has red hair, and walks with a wiggle.
They don't make toys like that.
Who's talking about a toy? What are you doing tonight, honey?
Well, I have to take my grandmother out.
I'll bring along a date for her. I have a friend just about her age.
Remley.
Here he is now. Curly, how would you like it?
No. I ain't doing no grandma sitting. Remley, what's the matter with you? Why do you always try
Phil.
To go on the...
Phil, help me with these packages, will
oh,
you?
Oh, sure, honey, sure.
Hi, Alice. Looks like you bought a lot of presents.
Oh, I did. And I have one for you, too, Frankie.
You bought me a Christmas present? Oh, Alice, you shouldn't have done it. Which package is mine?
I think it's this one under my arm.
I'll get it.
Frankie, you shouldn't grab it.
Oh, Alice, just what I always wanted, a bag of money.
Give me back my purse.
Oh, sorry, Alice. Here's your purse.
Now give me back the money.
Can't I just hold it for a while? It's so warm and comforting.
No.
Well, where is my present, Alice?
It must be with the packages I put in the car.
Well, come on, let's go out to the parking lot. I'm anxious to see it.
Right. Hey, by the way, Alice, I promised the girls I'd let them stay up and see Santa on Christmas Eve.
Oh, Phil, why did you do that?
Well, honey, I was on the spot. I had to. Hey, but look, don't worry. I'll get somebody to play Santa.
Why get anybody to play Santa?
Well, what else am I going to do?
Well, let the kids stay up and see the real Santa Claus.
Well, I don't know what time he's coming. Could I have that again, Herman?
Why don't you let the kids see the real Santa Claus?
Remley, you got to stop using hops in your bubble bath.
Oh, we can call somebody later, Phil. Oh, here's our car. Open the door, Frankie, and you'll find your present on the back seat.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. There ain't no packages here. What, are you a wise guy or something, Alice?
Oh, what are you talking about? I put them right here myself on the... Oh, no, they're gone. Somebody stole them.
A likely story. You never did have anything for me.
Frankie,
the
length.
Some people go.
Frankie, all of the other presents were stolen, too.
I don't care about the others. I want my present. And you better get it for me, or I'll have a tantrum. I'll lie down on the sidewalk and kick my feet. That's what I'll do. I will.
Wait a minute.
Frankie, please control yourself. And don't you worry. The thief who stole your present will regret it.
He will?
Yes. As soon as he opens the box, the rattlesnake will bite him.
Rattlesnake? You fiend.
Oh, Phil. Phil, this is awful. All those wonderful Christmas presents I got. I bought the children beautiful mama dolls, and I... Oh, this is terrible. I'm going in and report this to the manager.
Yeah, go ahead, honey. I don't blame her. I'd like to get my hands on whoever stole those packages.
Maybe they weren't stolen. Maybe Alice put them in the wrong car. You know, some blondes aren't too smart.
Yeah. Well, then let's look in the next car.
Okay. Hey, Curly, I was right. Here are your packages in this car.
Well, then, good. Start handing them out.
Right. Curly, did Alice buy anybody an aquarium?
I don't know. Why?
There's a bowl here with fish in it.
Well, then hand it out. I'll see if there's a card on it.
Okay. Here you are, Curly. Take it easy. It's heavy.
All right. Be careful handing it over now. Look out. It's kind of slippery.
Drop that bowl, you Yuletide thieves!
Julius, now look what you made me do.
That's my fish bowl. What are you guys doing in my car? I'm going to call a cop.
Now, wait a minute, Julius. We can explain.
Don't talk to me, you guppy snatchers. Look at me little goldfish swimming all over the parking lot.
Well, we're sorry, Julius.
Don't stand there, Max. Swim after them.
Well, stop making such a fuss over a few landlocked goldfish. I'll pay you for them.
Well, that's better. Let's have the dough.
How much they cost?
$1,300.
$1,300 for goldfish?
When I buy goldfish, they're gold.
All right, kid. Beat it.
Beat it, he says. He's ransacking me car and he wants me to beat it.
We ain't ransacking your car. Somebody stole presents out of my car and we thought these was them.
These was them. He not only steals stuff out of my car, he's stealing my character, too.
Ah, Curly, pay no attention to him. We gotta catch this crook. And, Curly, did you hear that?
Yeah, sound like a mama doll. What about it?
Didn't Alice say she bought a couple of mama dolls for the kids?
Yeah. Where did that sound come from?
That little girl over there is holding a mama doll.
Remley, we got our crook.
What crook? The kid's only 5 years old. The doll probably belongs to him.
Quiet. That kid's a criminal type if I ever saw one. Look at that low forehead, them beady eyes.
The receding chin, the scar on her cheek.
And the cauliflower ears and the wax mustache.
Will you keep out of this?
Just hold it a minute, Remley. I'll go over and question
now
her.
Now, careful, Curly. Frisk her first. She may be carrying a knife.
Or a sharp lollipop.
Go home, will you? Now, look, Remley. Let me grill her.
Fellas, you can't grill a 5-year-old kid.
Why not?
It ain't an even match. Mentally, she's got 2 years on you.
Look, Julius, I'm warning you for the last time. You either
Curly, Curly, ignore him. Let's question the suspect.
Well, then you better let me handle this, Remley. The kid will probably deny it, and it's going to take some shrewd questioning to get it out of her.
Mm-hmm.
But watch me.
Right.
Hey, you.
Do you want me, mister?
Yeah. I want to ask you a few questions. Remley, turn the headlights on her.
Right, Chief. While you're questioning her, I'll take down her confession.
And I'll start beating her with a rubber hose.
I told you to go home. Go home. Now then, sister, how long have you been stealing things out of cars?
I didn't steal anything.
Oh, no. How old are you?
I'm 5.
What's your name?
Gene Davis.
Where do you live?
22 Maple Street. Where do you live?
43 Encino Boulevard.
What's your name?
Phil Harris.
How old are you?
28.
You've been stealing things out of cars.
Well, I started when I was 11, but it wasn't my fault. See, Dad needed beer money, and wait a minute! I didn't steal nothing. I'm questioning you. And I don't believe your story. In the first place, you're lying about your age.
Look who's talking.
Curly, you're not doing very good. Let me have one. Look, Mal, where'd you get this doll?
My grandpa gave it to me.
Now we're getting someplace. Who's your grandpa?
He's the chief of police.
Your witness, Curly.
I know. I wouldn't touch her with a fork. Hey, look, take your doll and get lost, kid. Hit the road.
I'm going to tell my grandpa on you.
Now, wait a minute, kid. Don't be a stool pigeon. Gee. Hey, I'll tell you what, honey. If you keep this quiet, I'll sing you a Christmas song.
Which one?
Well, would you like to hear me sing Jingle Bells?
Not especially.
You're going to hear it anyway.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Whoa, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Whoa, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on Bobtail ring, they're making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey,
oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Alice Faye was seated by my side.
The horse was leaning like misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifted bank and we got upsot.
Jingle bells,
the snow with a hey, ha, 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 ho, ha, ho.
Jingle bells, ringing bells,
gaily, singing merrily we go.
Jingle
all the world
of bells,
life, white and snow so cold and crisp and light with
jingle
shock and pulling,
all
we are going
the way
through the night.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in an open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a
one-horse
open, one-horse open sleigh.
Well, little girl, what did you think of my singing?
Eh. Come on, mister.
Ah, your grandfather's a cop.
Hey, Curly, come here. Let's look in the car on the other side.
Okay, I'll look.
Hey, fellas. Fellas, I talked to the manager and he... Phil, what are you doing in that car?
Well, we thought maybe you put the packages in the wrong car. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, hey, there are a lot of packages in here. Alice, did you buy somebody a machine gun for Christmas?
Oh, now, don't be silly.
Well, there's one in here. I'll hand it out and show
you. Drop that Tommy gun or I'll blow your brains out.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't...
Hey, is that you, Harris?
It's Grogan.
Who else?
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing here, Grog?
Going in to do my Christmas shopping. I always shop at this place.
Well, then what are you sitting in the car for?
I'm waiting for the store to close. That way I get it for less than wholesale. You going shopping here too?
No, we already did ours, but somebody stole all the gifts out of our car.
Oh, how low can a person get? Things like that make me mad at Christmas time. Now, you just tell me how many packages have been stolen, and I will see that they are replaced.
Now, how are you going to replace them?
I'll go around and steal them from the other cars. Why not? If somebody steals presents from you, you'll steal presents from them. That's the Christmas spirit.
That's the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, sure. You know the old saying, it is better to take than to buy. After all, you can't
Phil,
just...
say, Phil, look. Huh? Well, there's somebody what? Sneaking out of that car with an armful of packages.
That's our man. Come on, Remley. You get on one side and I'll get on the other and we'll grab him. Come on, get a hold
of him. I got him, Curly.
All right, hold him. Don't let him get away.
Let go of me, you guys.
Oh, Phil, it's a little boy.
Tell them to let go of me, lady.
Hey, kid, what's the idea of stealing things out of cars?
I wasn't stealing them. I was only borrowing them.
Now, why didn't I think of that alibi the last time I got...
Hey, kid, what do you mean, borrowing?
I just wanted them for Christmas. I never get nothing, and the other kids do. And this Christmas, I wanted something to play with.
But you didn't have to steal. On Christmas Eve, Santa Claus will bring you all the toys you want.
What Santa Claus?
Oh, another skeptic, huh? Look, kid, I tell you, there is a Santa Claus.
Then why don't he ever come to my house?
Well, maybe you have a narrow chimney and he can't fit in it.
Maybe a television antenna sticks up on a roof. He can't let his rain.
Will you please? Kid's in enough trouble. Look, Sonny, let me ask you something. What are you doing out by yourself? Where are your folks?
I ain't got no folks.
Oh. Well, look, kid. Look, son, you put the presents back and then I'll buy you some. What do you say to that?
What's the gimmick, mister?
Well, what do you mean, gimmick?
What's in it for you? Nobody ever gave me anything for nothing.
Yeah, I like your spirit, kid. Tell you what, I'll buy you the presents. I am going to see to it that you have a Merry Christmas.
I don't want nothing from you either.
Now look, kid. Either you are going to let me give you a Merry Christmas or I'll knock your little roof in.
You and who else?
Ah, that's my kind of kid. Look, we'll put the presents back, and then Mr. Harris and me, we will go out and buy you everything you want.
What are you trying to do, ruin Santa's big night? He'll bring the kid all the presents he needs.
Hey, mister.
Yeah?
Did you ever see Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah, sure. I see him every year. How'd you like to see him?
Are you kidding?
No. Mr. and Mrs. Harris have two kids, and they're going to wait up and see Santa this year. Why don't you come over to their house and see him with them?
Remley, what are you trying to do? He can't come over to the house and see...
But, gee, mister, can I please come over to your house?
Well,
Of course you can, son. Now you return the presents and we'll take you home with us.
Thanks, lady. I'll be right back.
Oh, Alice, can't you see? Now this kid's going to be disillusioned.
Oh, no, he won't, Phil. You said you were going to hire someone to play Santa for our children.
Yeah, that's right. That way you'll get to see him. And I'll tell you something, I'm going to hire the best Santa that money can buy.
Hire a fake Santa if you want to, but keep him out of the way of the real one or there's going to be trouble. Hurry up, kid, we're ready to go home.
Oh, Alice, this is awful. How much trouble can you get into? Here it is, Christmas Eve, and I couldn't get anybody to play Santa Claus for the kids. I called everybody. Don Wilson, Don Quinn, Andy Devine.
Curly, look, for the last time, I tell you, you don't need anybody.
Frankie, don't you understand? It's not just my own kids I'm concerned about, but that little boy. He has all of his hopes pinned on seeing Santa.
He'll see him. Now stop talking. Put these things on a mantle.
What's this for?
It's milk and cookies for Santa. I put them on a mantle for him every year.
All right, put them up there. Put them up there.
Okay.
Remley, can't you see I'm in trouble? If this little
Daddy,
kid don't get
Daddy,
the...
when is Santa Claus coming?
Yeah, it's almost 11 o'clock. Where is he? Are you sure he's coming?
Well, Well, you see, children,
he'll be here soon, kids.
Oh, Frankie. Look, kids. See, Santa might be awfully late getting here, so I'll tell you what. Let me tell you a Christmas story, and then will you run off to bed?
Well, all right, Daddy. But, gee, we wanted so much to see him.
Yeah, you promised me.
All right. Maybe next year. Now gather around me, kids, and I'm going to tell you a beautiful Christmas story. You ready? 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And the stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. I thought I heard sleigh bell. No. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. Hey, Alice, what are those bells? What's the...
Shh. Quiet, Curly.
Claus, the real one.
Gee, there is a Santa Claus.
But I...
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Frankie, who are you talking to? I don't see anybody.
The kids do. Look at them.
Mr. Rimley, you were right.
Gee, Santa, we knew you'd come.
We were waiting all evening for you.
Oh, sure, we've been very good girls. Oh, what a lovely dollhouse. Thank you. Just what I wanted, roller skates.
And all these things are for me? Can I open them now? All right, Santa. I'll wait till morning. Thank you very much.
And a Merry Christmas to you too, Santa. Of course, we'll tell them. Merry Christmas. And goodbye, Santa Claus.
Told you'd show up, Curly.
But, Frankie, I don't get it. I heard it, but I didn't see him.
Of course you didn't. He sure is a nice-looking old gent.
Alice, did you see him?
Well, I'm not sure, Phil. I almost thought I saw him standing by the fireplace.
But, Alice, how could it be? If he was standing there...
But, Phil, what are you staring at?
The mantle. Alice. The milk and cookies. They're gone.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Paint Your Wagon has been acclaimed by critics as one of the top musicals to hit Broadway in years. And now, RCA Victor brings you the hit songs of this show with its original show cast, with James Barton, Alga San Juan, and Tony Bavar. RCA Victor's new Paint Your Wagon album is superb. It gives you such beautiful melodies as I Still See Elisa, Another Autumn, The Rousing Carino Mio, and I Talk to the Trees. And the words and music are written by the same combination of Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe, who brought you Brigadoon. Yes, RCA Victor's Paint Your Wagon album is good news. Stop in at your RCA Victor record dealers tomorrow and get your copy of this album. It will make a wonderful Christmas present because it's the gift that keeps on giving. Buy it in any of three record speeds, the new Paint Your Wagon album on RCA Victor Records. And now, here's wishing you and your family a Merry Christmas from RCA Victor.
Folks, this is Phil again. Please remember what a wonderful job you're doing every time you buy Christmas seals. Let's all help fight tuberculosis. Alice and I and our entire cast add our wishes for your holiday happiness. I started to say Hollywood happiness.
Oh, that's good, too.
Hollywood happiness.
All right.
And holiday happiness. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks and good night.
And Merry Christmas, everybody.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrolaphonograph, or records, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in television.
Next, Theater Guild on the Air stars Rex Harrison on NBC.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the next episode in the 1941-42 season. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Christmas episodes, in that I think we're so lucky with Jack to get so many Christmas episodes. Because you have, of course, the shopping episode that's almost, they play almost every year. And then you also have the Christmas party episode that they play almost every year. And sometimes you even get a third episode that has some Christmas ideas in it. So it's just needed this time of year to have so many episodes that deal with Christmas time. I think the party episodes sometimes get kind of short short coverage versus the shopping episodes, because the shopping episodes are so well known, so enjoyed, that the Christmas party episodes don't get enjoyed maybe as much or as much notoriety and things. But I think they're a lot of fun. Lots of times you bring in cast members that you haven't had on the show in a while. There's many times where there's a lot of great banter going on throughout the episode, and I think the party episodes are really excellent in and of themselves. One person that's going to get mentioned today on the episode is Rodney Dangerfield. And if you're a Jack Benny fan, you hear a lot of Rodney Dangerfield getting mentioned. In fact, he will do a guest appearance on the 1951 season, where they'll actually have the Rodney Dangerfield character have some dialogue. Now, having said this, I cover this because a lot of people get confused by this. Of course, there's a famous comedian named Rodney Dangerfield that passed away here recently, not too recently, I don't know. Can't remember exactly when, a decade back or something. And he was a great performer. That is not the same Rodney Dangerfield that they're talking about. The Rodney Dangerfield from Jack's time is an in-house character joke of a bad comedian that they joke about throughout the course of Jack's shows. And Rodney Dangerfield, the actual person, my guess would be took his name from that. He certainly, the persona he always tried to play was of a person who gets no respect and everything, and it played well on, was similar to the Rodney Dangerfield character that Jack had, I believe, created. but it makes things confusing to fans because they're going, wow, was he really, really young back then or something? And no, that was not the same Rodney Dangerfield. It does kind of a cool thing with his career if you're a fan of comedy, but not a huge fan. It makes you, and if you're a fan of Jack Benny's show and stuff, it makes it seem like, boy, Rodney Dangerfield was around for a long time, but in reality he wasn't. He got his start, I believe, in comedy in like the 50s or 60s. I've never seen anything with him in the 50s, so really I think in the 60s. And then, of course, in the 70s and 80s, he did very well. And 90s. Anyway, so I just thought I would dispel that piece because it confuses a lot of people. And if you look up his age and stuff, it doesn't make sense that he could somehow be kicking around in 1941. He'd be awfully young. Anyway, so having said that, I hope you enjoy this wonderful episode, and we'll see you next time.
The Jell-O program brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Relax. You know, friends, it's not really considered quite fair to open packages before Christmas, but of course there's one package that you can open any day with the whole family's hearty approval. And that's a package of Jell-O. Open a package and serve it tomorrow, and let the folks at your house enjoy Jell-O's wonderful new locked-in flavor. Jell-O's gay, scintillating colors add charm to any table, lend a festive touch to any meal. Why, just to look at a bright, shimmering mold of Jell-O is enough to set appetites a-tingle. And when it comes to flavor, well, Jell-O is simply in a class by itself. There's just nothing that can beat Jell-O's rich, tangy taste. So full of intriguing flavor, so downright good and refreshing. Tomorrow, treat everybody to a tempting dish of Jell-O. Ask your grocer for all of Jell-O's 6 delicious flavors. They're all locked in, and they're all better than ever. Was Relax, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the Yuletide season is here with all its joy and gaiety. So without further ado, we bring you a star to place atop your Christmas tree, Jack Benny.
Well, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, that was quite a whimsical introduction, a star to place atop your Christmas tree. I suppose you said that because I'm a movie star. Is that right?
No, Jack, that wasn't my thought at all.
Oh.
I meant that you actually and physically resemble a star.
Well, I don't, I don't get it, Don. What do you mean?
Well, for instance, you've got a dash of silver in your hair.
Yes.
And you've always got a merry twinkle in your eye.
Yes, yes.
And the seat of your pants is always bright and shiny.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you're wearing the only pair of pointed shoes in Hollywood.
Now, wait a minute, Don. I'm not going to argue about the silver and the twinkle, and I'll even go along with the shiny pants. But these pointed shoes I've got on are very popular. They're French Schreiner and Erner's new bayonet model. They're very snappy, don't you think?
Snappy is right. But personally, Jack, I like a shoe that spreads out.
Listen, brother, any shoe you step into is doomed. Believe me.
Oh, I'm not so heavy on my feet.
You're not, eh? Don, your arches fell the first time your mother said, "Come on, Snookums, walk toward me." But speaking about these shoes I'm wearing...
Wow, get a load of them. Did vaudeville come back?
No, vaudeville didn't come back. Just so happens that for a change, I switched to a pointed, tight-fitting shoe.
Then where do you keep your money now?
I've got a hollow tooth. I can go along with a gag, sister. And let me tell you something, young lady. Any more of those Livingston Lulus tonight, and your invitation to my Christmas party next Thursday is automatically canceled. Remember that.
Well, Jack, speaking of your party, what are you going to serve for dinner? Turkey, goose, or duck?
Ham hocks, and not another word about it. Come early, Don. You know, a lot of big movie stars are going to be there.
Movie stars? Name one.
There'll be lots of them.
Come on, name one.
Oh, they'll be there.
Don't stall. Name one movie star that's going to be at your party.
All right, Rodney Dangerfield. I know he's coming because he already sent me a wire by Western Union.
Western Union I heard about, but who was Rodney Dangerfield?
Who is Rodney Dangerfield? Well, I'll be... Mary, did you see the Fargo Kid rides the Pony Express on the Santa Fe Trail at the Hitching Post Theater last week? Did you?
No.
Well, that was Rodney's greatest performance. If you could have seen him jump out of the second-story window of a burning building and gallop out of town on his horse, blazing away with his six-shooter in one hand and playing Tumbleweed Girl, I Love You on his guitar with the other. Well, what a scene.
Pretty thrilling, huh?
Was it? A kid sitting in back of me got so excited he beat me on the head with a stick of licorice. Anyway, you'll meet Rodney at my house next Thursday.
Well, who else is coming, Jack?
Well, you know, I'm making a picture with Carol Lombard, so naturally I had to invite her. And I also told her to ask Clark if he wanted to come.
Gee whiz, is Clark Gable going to be at your party?
Well, I'm not sure about him, but I got a definite no from Lombard. Let's see, and the Gary Coopers can't come, and the Henry Fondas had a previous engagement, and Bob Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck have a toothache.
Between them?
How do I know? And then Claudette Colbert can't come. She sprained her ankle.
I saw her dancing at the Macombo last night.
With that ankle? Poor kid. And then Errol Flynn can't make it. He's in New York, you know. Well, let's see. Oh, yes, Barney Dean. He's coming. I'm sure of that.
Well, here I go again. Who's Barney Dean?
Who's Barney Dean? Did you see Sergeant York?
Yes.
Well, he was a soldier in that. That's who. Anyway, Barney Dean will be there. And then I invited... Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, bub. Sorry I'm late, but I was across the street shooting pool.
Shooting pool? Well, let me ask you something, Phil. Who pays you your salary, me or the pool room?
Look, Jackson, if I didn't take the salary I get here and double it over there, I'd have to give up me.
Too bad about you.
Hey, Phil, are you and Alice coming to Jack's party?
Oh, I don't know. Who's going to be there?
Everybody from Barney Dean to Rodney Dangerfield.
Don't run them down.
Hey, is Rod Dangerfield going to be at your party?
Yep.
Oh, that guy's terrific. I think he's darn near as good as Hoot Horowitz.
What do you mean, darn near as good? Did you see Rodney's latest picture, the Fargo Kid rides the Pony Express on the Santa Fe Trail?
Yeah, I seen it last week.
That was a thriller, wasn't it?
You said it. I got so excited I hit some old bird in the front of me with my licorice stick.
Oh-ho! So that was you. You were at the Hitching Post Theater last Tuesday evening.
Not so loud, Jackson. I was playing hooky from my night school.
Oh. Well, don't worry. I won't squeal.
You better not, Sponger. I'll have to drill you. A bang, a bang, a bang.
You're not a drilling me, son, because I'm the sheriff. A bang, a bang, a bang. Bang!
These two cowboys come to you through the courtesy of Jell-O, who are open for suggestions.
Never mind. We'll talk about the picture later, Phil. Now, how about a band number?
Okay.
Hold it. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Am I going to be invited to your Christmas party? My name is Pigeon.
Walter Pigeon?
No, dead pigeon. A bang, a bang, a bang.
What a head he's got. That's the only grapefruit I ever saw that can take shorthand. He's my secretary, folks. Play, Phil. Popo Caterpetal, played by Phil Harris and his Yuletide Orchestra. Yule meaning, you'll have to go a long way to hear a band like this. And tide meaning, I wish they'd go out with us. But no kidding, Phil. That number sounded swell. It was really the nuts. All right, Don. Phil's number was the nuts.
Jack, this one is utterly absurd.
Don, Phil's band number was the nuts.
You know it wasn't.
That's not the point. Come on, Don. Phil's band number was the nuts.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you go to your neighborhood grocer.
You see?
Why not ask him for a package of Jell-O with its new locked-in flavor?
Now, here's the clever part, folks.
Oh, Jack, I'll never be able to face my friend.
Don Nuts!
Oh, very well. So whether your name is Hazel or Filbert, you walnut regret buying this tempting and economical dessert. Buy Hickory.
Very good. Very good. There you are, Don. That was one of the most novel things I've ever written.
Oh, Jack, you didn't write that.
Yes, I did.
All by yourself?
All by myself.
You mean it came to you like a flash?
Like a bolt out of the blue.
Keep talking, brother. When I get the right lead, I'm going to murder you.
No, don't be so critical. That was a very clever commercial, wasn't it, Dennis? Hey, where's Dennis?
Here I am. I'm back in Mr. Wilson.
Oh.
Peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo. You gotta humor the kid. Say, Dennis, have you got a nice song prepared for today?
Yeah, but first I want to thank you for letting me come over to the studio the other day.
Oh, don't mention it.
That was a pretty hot love scene you did with Carol Lombard, by golly.
Yes, it was.
Gosh, when you grabbed her and gave her that big kiss, I got so excited I was quivering all over.
You were?
She didn't even move a muscle.
Never mind.
What's the matter with that girl?
I don't know.
Look, boy, she kisses Gable when she leaves home in the morning, and she kisses him when she gets back at night. Anything in between is strictly cheesecake.
Well, I don't want to be catty, but oh, well, forget it. How about a song, Dennis? What's it going to be?
I'm going to sing a medley of Christmas carols.
Good. Oh, say, fellas, that reminds me. I've got to go home early tonight and do some work on my Christmas tree. I want to get it all trimmed up for the party. You want to come and help me, Mary?
Sure, why not?
Phil, after Dennis's song, you can play a few selections and fill out the program.
Well, that'll give me a chance to play a couple of high-class numbers like who's this plays. Andre Costa. What's the rest of this here?
Lannis. Andre Costa Lannis. Oh, brother.
Well, why do you always embarrass me by making up them big words?
I didn't make up anything. That's the man's name. He's married to Lily Pond.
Her, I can say.
Look, Phil, just accompany Dennis a song, then put on your hat and go home. Come on, Mary, let's get out of here. What's that? Come in. Special delivery for Mary Livingston.
Right here, Bud. Give him a tip, will you, Jack?
Okay. Here you are, boy. Here's a half a dollar for you. Thanks. I can go along with a gag. A boom. You can louse it up, too. He had to put a boom on the end of it. Wasn't satisfied the way it was written. Had to put a boom. Anyway, I'd like to see one stooge in this town with hair. Come on, Mary.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. This letter's from Mama.
You can read it in the cab. Come on.
Oh, let her read it now, Jack. Mary's mother's a... She's just a riot.
Oh, all right. I'm glad you got that out, too. If we had an hour program, we'd be very successful here. You know that. All right, read your mother's letter, Mary. What's the head of Hopper of Plainfield got to say?
My darling daughter, Mary, just a line to let you know that Christmas is almost here, and as yet I have not received your ecce.
Ecce?
But don't get me wrong. If your check has been delayed in the mail, I take back everything I'm thinking.
How can anybody be so mercenary?
Your sister Ethel and her husband are here for the holidays and will spend several weeks with us. Inasmuch as they live right next door, I think this is an imposition.
Oh, I don't know.
Quiet. You ought to see your sister's new baby. Everybody says it's a regular little doll. And they're right. It looks just like Popeye.
Well, no wonder. After all, your sister is no Rose. And that husband of hers, does he still sell blueing house to house?
No, he's a vanilla extract man now.
Oh, vanilla extract man. Oh, he's going places. Come on, finish the letter.
Speaking of Christmas, I saw your father tiptoeing up the stairs last night with a great big package over his shoulder. I was thrilled to death until I found out the package was your Uncle Willie.
Boy, was he full of vanilla.
No more news, except that your brother Bacardi...
Bacardi?
Papa named him off a bottle.
Oh.
Except that your brother Bacardi was turned down by the Army on account of flat feet, chest, and head. Also, his hands drag on the ground when he walks.
Gee, his nails must be a mess.
Love to all, Mama.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a P.S. Tell Jack I heard him do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the program a few weeks ago. What a pew foreman.
Pew foreman? Let's see that. Well, I'll be darned. If I'd have known this was going to happen, I'd have put another cup of water in that perfume I sent her. Sing, Dennis. See you Christmas, fellas. Come on, Mary. Let's get over to the house.
Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, one is a king of Israel. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heavens look down where he lay. The little artist asleep in the hay. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He's on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hope proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Right up here, buddy. It's that big white house with the iron reindeer on the lawn.
Okay, pal.
Boy, look at that meter. $1.50.
Oh, driver, how much do I owe you?
Like she said, $1.50.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. How would you like to match? $3 or nothing?
Double or nothing? Okay, pal.
I'm matching you. Just a second. Okay, here goes. Come on, lift up.
Well, so long, pal.
Rochester, why doesn't he answer the door? I have to stand here all night?
Oh, take it easy, Jack. Calm down. What's $3?
It's not the money. I don't believe in gambling. Don't talk to me. I feel awful.
Why don't you take off one of those shoes and cut your throat?
Mary, I'm in no mood for any...
Good evening, boss. Happy Yuletide.
Rochester, you were late answering the door, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm fining you $3. You understand?
I wish the stock market would come back that fast.
Never mind. Any messages, Rochester?
Yes, sir. Mr. Charles Boyer called and said he won't be able to attend your Christmas party.
Why not?
You got me, boss. He gave his excuse in print.
Well, that's the sneakiest thing I ever heard of. Any other messages?
Yes, Lady Mendel phoned. Said she got your lovely invitation, and who are you?
Does she ever go to the movies, for heaven's sake? Come on, Mary, the tree is in the library. Bring my slippers, Rochester.
Your slippers?
Yes.
Lounging, bedroom, or ballet?
I'm in no mood for a ballet dance, believe me. Bring in my lounging slippers.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Mary. While I'm putting the star on top of the tree, you can be hanging popcorn balls on the branches.
Oh, is your tree going to have branches this year? Yes, it's going to have branches. Well, I think the one you had last... Uh-oh, here comes your boarder.
Yeah. I wonder why he's carrying that hatchet. Hello, Mr. Billingsley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Benny. Home a little early, I see.
Yes, yes, I have some work to do around the house. Oh, Mr. Billingsley, what are you doing with that hatchet? Are you a Boy Scout now?
No, I'm going out to dinner later, and when I say chopped chicken liver, that's what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
Keep him flying.
I can't understand Mr. Billingsley lately. You know, Mary, he slept under his bed last night. He hung onto the springs like a bat. You know? Weird fellow. Well, there you are. There's my Christmas tree, Mary. Isn't it nice?
Yeah, that's the biggest one you ever had. Where'd you get it?
Got it just north of Redwood City. Well, let's start with the decorations. Mary, you hang up these candy canes and I'll... Rochester, what happened to that box of popcorn balls we had in the closet?
I got bad news, boss. There's nothing in there now but a big fat mouse.
Darn it, I'm short of ornaments. Got to have something to hang on that tree.
Yes, those socks look awful by themselves.
The socks are coming off as soon as they're dry. I wanted popcorn balls to add a little... Say, I have an idea. How would oranges look there?
Oranges?
Yeah, I've got a backyard full of them. I'll go out and pick some. Meanwhile, start with those candy canes, Mary. I'll be right back. Jingle bells, jingle bells, yum bum bum bum, da dum dum dum. $3. I had to match them. Yum dum dum da dum bum 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 bum. Oh well. Jingle bells, jingle bells, yum dum dee. Let's see. I think there's some big ones in this tree over here. Yeah, these will be fine. They're nice big juicy ones. I'll take about a dozen. Let's see. One, two, three. 4, 5.
Hello, mister. What are you doing?
Hello. 6. Oh. Oh, hello, little girl. Where did you come from?
I was just looking around your yard. Where's your polar bear?
My polar bear? Oh, he's asleep for the winter. Do you live around here?
Yes. We just moved into that new house next to Ronald Coleman's.
Oh, next to Ronald Coleman's. Oh, that's swell. We're going to be neighbors, aren't we?
Uh-huh. You're Jack Benny, aren't you?
That's right. That's who I am.
Gee, I heard you do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the radio. What a performance!
Hey. Hey, it was pretty good. Say, little girl, your face is kind of familiar. Haven't I seen you in pictures?
You might have. My name's Carolyn Lee.
Oh, Carolyn Lee. Yeah. Well, this is certainly a surprise. So little Miss Lee is my neighbor.
Ah, you can call me Carolyn.
Ah, good. And you can call me Jack.
Okay, Jack.
Ah, gee, she's cute. Say, Carolyn. Are you going to be busy Christmas morning?
I don't know. Why?
Well, I had a telephone call from Santa Claus last night, and he told me he was going to leave a beautiful present under my tree, specially for you.
Well, let's analyze this. How did Santa Claus know you were going to meet me?
Oh, he even knows about things before they happen. He knows everything.
Then
and
why
that's
are you...
why we've got to be real good, especially around Christmas.
Then why are you... picking Mr. Coleman's oranges?
Look, Carolyn. These aren't Mr. Coleman's oranges. What hangs over the fence is mine. Now, let me tell you something about Santa Claus, Carolyn. Every year at this time, he makes a list of good little boys and girls, and when they wake up Christmas morning...
Hey, boss, come in here.
I'll be with you in a minute. And, Carolyn, if these little boys and girls have been real good...
You gotta come in now, boss. Mr. Billingsley's chopping down the Christmas tree.
What? Chopping down the tree? See you later, Carolyn. Mr. Billingsley! Mr. Billingsley, Mary, stop him!
It's too late now!
Oh, my goodness. I knew I should have taken away his hatchet.
What a combination. Golden apricots and rich, shimmering lemon Jell-O. That's the swell blend that makes Jell-O apricot rings such a grand treat. The sliced canned apricots and lemon Jell-O, deliciously molded into one of the most tempting desserts you ever tasted. And one of the easiest, too. Simply dissolve one package of lemon Jell-O in 1 1/4 cups of hot water. Next, add a dash of salt and 3/4 cups of syrup from the canned apricots. Then chill until thickened and fold in 2 1/2 cups of the sliced canned apricots themselves. When molded, served with a garnishing of whipped cream, apricot waters, and green maraschino cherries. And there's a dessert you just can't beat for taste and attractiveness. Juicy sliced apricots blended with the richness of sunny lemon Jell-O. So get them both and make up this delightful treat. Jell-O makes any gelatin dessert taste extra good because the locked-in process protects the flavor for your complete enjoyment.
We're a little late, so good night, folks, and Merry Christmas to all.
Remember, tomorrow when you order Jell-O puddings, too, in all three flavors. Jell-O puddings are just like Grandma's, only more so. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles.